More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, the NFL kicking off the 1 o'clock games, including the Faconeers and Swampers down in Stinky Town, and we'll keep you tabs on that over the next couple of hours here. It is sort of a team Wade Ford today. John Fricke with you. And Squid Billy on in the first hour from Charlotte. Joe Patrick on. He's staying on in this segment. Also from Charlotte coming up in this hour. We'll check in with Chris Goforth and with Mike Johnson as we get towards the top of the hour. 2 o'clock, we'll join the network for the pregame show with Chris and Mike. 425 kick, Wes and Dave on the call from Charlotte between the Falcons and the Panthers on Sports Radio 92.9. The game, Wade Ford Tailgate Show, brought to you in part by Wade Ford. Wade Ford's Atlanta's Ford dealer, as you know. Joe Patrick, when we talk about injuries coming into this game, just to stop and set again the situation here. Falcons going for three in a row in the division, playing their first road division game of the year in a season where their schedule is so division heavy. Five of their first six division games by week 11. And so these become hypercritical. And considering the last couple of really heartbreaking and backbreaking losses they had in Charlotte in the rain 2 years ago in the hand grenade game, and in the rain last year in the DoorDash Dez poor pass game. This is really an important game, and yet as you come into the game, the Falcons have a couple of key injuries. I want to start there, but boy, the Panthers are just really beat up.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they're going to be without, a center, a tackle, well, really two centers, plus a tight end and Tommy Tremble. They're going to be, doubtful. Jadeveon Clowney doesn't look like he's going to play. Looks like they're probably going to be without A'shaun Robinson, one of their best run defenders, two on the defensive line. Who else? Deontay Johnson. It looks like he's probably going to play, but he's still at least questionable and has been limited all week in practice. He's by far their top pass-catching target. They've got injuries up and down the roster. They're not healthy whatsoever.
Not to mention they've got Derek Brown, Shaq Thompson, and Adam Thielen out for the year.
Right. Two of their top defenders in Shaq Thompson and Derek Brown. And in Derek Brown, a guy who has absolutely wrecked the Falcons. And he is probably one of the more underrated players or defensive players in all of the NFL. And it feels like he always comes up big, particularly against the Falcons at Bank of America Stadium, for whatever reason. That's where he really, really, again, wrecks the Falcons. And you're right about the importance of this game. I mean, the Falcons have, beaten the Saints and the Buccaneers, and those were obviously very important games as well. But ultimately, if you want to win the division, you got to feel like, okay, you have to take care of your home games in the division, and the Falcons have done a great job in being able to check those off. But this first road game in the division is really where you feel like you can start to make inroads in terms of, getting the things you need accomplished in order to be the winner, and especially against the team that you're favored against, and the Falcons being just about a touchdown favorite over the Panthers today. Obviously very important for them to get that win. And I think for the players, important for them to show well too in this game, not for it to be a nail biter, but for it to kind of be a little bit breathing room at the end. And then let's get to the Falcons injuries as well. Not a whole lot on their injury report as far as the game status for today, except for Troy Anderson is going to be out once again after missing all of practice this week with that knee injury that he suffered at the very end of that Saints game. Darnell Mooney, Matthew Judon, D. Alford are all kind of unspecified, have missed some portions of practice, but they were, Alford and Mooney were full participants on Friday. Judon was a full participant on Thursday. A lot of guys got breaks on Friday as well, so they're on the injury report, but they're not going to miss today. So it's a pretty full strength for the Falcons. And then with Nate Landman, I think it's important. They're going to get him back today. The Falcons announced yesterday that they had activated him to the 53-man roster, which is great news because they're going to need a run stopper to stop this Carolina Panthers rushing attack led by Chuba Hubbard. And it's a pretty good run-blocking offensive line that the Panthers have. So, and that's obviously been a pain point for the Falcons so far since he's gone missing is, stopping the run, whether it's been Saquon Barkley or Carson Strong from the Chiefs, whether you're good or not so good running back, they pretty much all had success against the Falcons for the most part. And while Nate Landman's been out, who is one of the better run defenders in the NFL. So that's huge. And then it's also kind of funny. I just want to call this out. Kevin King was released.
Wait, but stop, earlier but stop right this week. Hey, and hey, then, hey, Go ahead. I just didn't want you to get too far ahead because I think that's an important point you just made. You know, the Falcons' rush defense has been lacking, and I don't understand why. And now they're going to get a heavy dose with no Adam Thielen, with, you know, you mentioned Deontay Johnson may be questionable for the game. I know Andy Dalton's in there. I would expect that they are going to see, it wouldn't shock me if Chuba Hubbard ran the ball 27, 28 times. They're going to try and run the ball on a team you can, why? I mean, when you've got Brady and you got Onyemata and you've got Aurora, and is it a scheme thing? Why are the Falcons just so poor suddenly in stopping the run?
Yeah, I don't know if it's scheme. I don't know if it's just missing, you know, key personnel like Nate Landman is. But I don't know. I would like to hear your take, John. But I just know from me, just thinking about it anecdotally, I feel like where I've seen the Falcons gashed a lot is in some of these kind of outside zone runs on the cutbacks. And it's never on where the play is supposed to go. But it feels like either the Falcons are overcommitting to the play side or whatever it might be. But it just feels like so often there are cutback lanes for these guys. And that's where they're able to gain these chunk yards, especially on first down. And then that translates to the pass rush, which has also been among the league worst, actually the worst in the league, basically statistically, the NFL, in the NFL, the Falcons last in sacks, last in pressures, last in pressure rates on a per play basis. Also bad. But one of the reasons is because, you know, teams are picking up 6-7 yards so often on first down against this team that just doesn't put them in position to actually rush the passer and get some of those production numbers going. So I think it will just be a good litmus test overall in this game in many different areas. But I think specifically it'll be interesting to see just how much the return of Nate Landman actually affects this team's run defense.
Yeah, no, I don't know if it's run blitzing. Maybe they ought to run blitz, which is different than, you know, you're run blitzing into those gaps and not run blitzing to the quarterback. Or as it is, maybe less three-man fronts and maybe going bigger with a big four-man front. Now that you have Aurora, you could go four big, you know, and bounce Grady to a, you know, a quasi-end position. I mean, I don't know. All I know is that the Falcons have not stopped the run and their tackling has been poor.
Well, John, I'm really glad you mentioned Rukororo because I totally forgot about him, but I thought that he made a big impact. He only, I think, played 15 snaps or so against the Buccaneers, but had some crucial stops, especially in the run game, which is kind of the where we thought that he was going to be able to immediately impact a team defensively and that he needs some time to develop some of the pass rushing skills. But I thought he played really, really well, much better than Kentavious Street has played so far this year. And I think that for that reason, we're going to see an even bigger uptick in snap percentage, snaps that Rukororo plays. And it will be interesting to see if he also can help this team in the run defense. And the Panthers are going to challenge them, you know. And it's one of the things I've been saying on some of my radio hits is that this really is a trap game for a lot of different reasons for the Falcons. When you talk about them coming off the emotional win, having the break, which can help teams, but if you don't have the right mentality, you can kind of get distracted and get thrown off your routine and all that. So it'll be interesting to see how they come back from that. But I think also one of the reasons why it's such a big kind of got that trap game potential is because what the Panthers do well is what the Falcons don't do well defensively. Now, on the other side of the ball, in the Falcons offensively, they've got so many tools. They should still be able to score plenty in this game, I would think. But the way they might not score a bunch is if the Panthers can do what some other teams have done to the Falcons this season, which is just run the ball, keep the time of possession in your favor, convert a lot of third downs, generally make the game ugly, don't give the Falcons good field position, and that is basically going to be the recipe for success for this Panthers team. So it'll be very interesting to see how this Falcons team is able to deal with kind of all these circumstances surrounding this game.
Injury Report is brought to you by Fireshire from the W Sauce, bigger, better, bolder, now spicier. Visit the WSauce.com to find a Fireshire retailer near you. A few more minutes with Joe Patrick on this Team Wade Ford edition of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. John Fricke with you coming up in about 10 minutes. Chris Goforth will join us, and then Mike Johnson will weigh in as well as we take you to a 425 kick today between the Falcons and the Panthers in Charlotte, where the Charlotte Panthers, Carolina Panthers, have 1-4 this year, really struggled. And David Tepper, their owner, is under a lot of pressure. Dave Kanellis was supposed to, you know, change the offense from what it was last year. Bryce Young gets benched. Andy Dalton gets inserted. And their defense has fallen apart because of injuries and other issues here. Consider a couple of headlines here, Joe, that I want to read to you from Charlotte in the last couple of days. Headline number one, the bandwagon has officially deflated. Headline number two, Panthers fans deserve more transparency on Bryce Young's future. In other words, will they go ahead and make a move and get rid of Bryce Young? Are they starting to put themselves in a position where they're going to begin? I think it's probably safe to say that they're starting to think about top five pick, if not top three, and they're thinking quarterback again.
Yeah. No, hard to say they're wrong on that one. And, you know, you had mentioned earlier the rumor about Russell Wilson potentially making his way to Miami. I'd seen the rumor about, you know, Bryce Young potentially making his way down there, but you agree. And it's the worst place to be as a fan of an NFL team, and Falcons fans know this all too well, which is just having uncertainty at the quarterback position, both in the near term, but also in the long term. What is the plan here? And right now, it seems like there is not really a plan for this Panthers team. And it's one of the reasons why I give the Falcons team credit for doing something that was very difficult to do in terms of the blowback that they knew they were going to get from a lot of the media and the narrative surrounding them drafting Michael Penix and as well as signing Kirk Cousins. But it's given them so much certainty at that position. And if you're going to ask a Falcons fan, they don't give a crap, I don't think, right now about having wasted a pick. They know that they've got a really good quarterback now, and they've got one that they believe in for the future. And the Panthers don't have either one of those, frankly, at this point in time.
The Wait For Tailgate Show brought to you in part by Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. John Fricke talking to Joe Patrick. Quick update here. The Buccaneers have struck first. Baker Mayfield to Chris Godwin. 7-0 Bucks on top of the Swampers. Early first quarter down in New Orleans here. Again, I know that a lot of Falcons fans today are looking at this game, Joe, and thinking, oh, you know what? Because I saw it, too. Hey, could Michael Penix play in this game? They're thinking, oh, you know what? We're just going to dust these guys. There's no such thing as an easy game in the NFL. And the moment that you have that kind of mindset, you set yourself up for, oh, my God, what happened? And the next thing you know, people are screaming and calling for coaches to be fired because you just went on the road and lost to Carolina again in a game that you had no business losing here. I don't imagine the team is taking this lightly. It is too important, too critical, and the guys that were on the team the last couple of years who knew what happened in Charlotte in those two games and how poorly they played, this all has to play into something where I think the Falcons understand, right, exactly how important this game is.
I think so, and especially, you know, obviously every team says that during the week, but ultimately you got to wait until the ball's kicked off and see how the team is responding during the action to see how well they're able to translate whatever words they say into the play on the field. But I also think this team in particular, especially I'm thinking about the offensive side of the ball and some of the young players they have and all these skill positions where they've accrued over the last few years. These guys know that they have played down to the level of their competition really for the last couple of years. And especially last year where they had a lot of high hopes and thought they were going to be a playoff team and did not capitalize on a series of games in the middle of the year that they really should have won that would have taken them to the playoffs. I'm talking about losses to the Titans, to the Vikings, to the Cardinals, all very beatable teams right in the middle of the year, and then obviously lose later on in the year on the road right here in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium to the team that should have been picking first in the NFL draft. In fact, last year, the Falcons, every team that drafted in front of them, they lost to last year of the teams that they actually played against. So not the mark that they want, but at least they have that experience and know that they cannot do that this year. And I think that they also, on top of having the right mentality, they have the quarterback who is not only going to be able to play on the field, but he's, you know, been talking. There's nothing that gets his blood boiling like dwelling on past results, whether they'd be good or bad. And you would, you know, and we're fortunate that the last result was a good result, but regardless, that's not going to win you this game against the Panthers. And you're totally right. If you go into it with the mindset of we're going to be able to, you know, clear the benches by the end of it, usually when you have that mindset, that's not what ends up happening. So you got to have full focus and attention on beating this team that has given you trouble, especially in this venue over the last couple of years.
All right, Joe, when I see you next week and you're walking up to the set here for the Wait For Tailgate Show, don't let me point my finger at you and start wagging it because I'm blaming you. Okay, so don't do that, okay? Don't do that.
If something bad happens today, I might not ever come back here just for the luck aspect. So we'll see. Hopefully we turn it around today.
And I was very kind. By the way, I was very kind to Joe. I didn't mention Ohio State. And through the whole interview, I didn't mention Ohio State at all.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Enjoy the game today, Joe. Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider and reporter. As he gets ready, he's in Charlotte getting ready to cover the game between the Falcons and the Panthers. Hopefully he has really good things to report in about 6 hours or so from now here. When we get back on this Team Wade Ford edition of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Chris Goforth is going to join us, and we'll get Chris's thoughts as well as we count down to kickoff between the Falcons and Panthers on your home with the Falcons Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Just building that confidence and understanding that, when there's a chance, we're able to, go out there and make a play. And even when a lot of guys make mistakes, including myself tonight with that crazy drop, just understanding that the ball's going to come back, make another play, and just go by it.
Darnell Mooney talking about the one play that he can't get out of his brain, that drop. Should have been a touchdown, but nonetheless, he's had a really big impact on this team so far this year. And welcome back to the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. What it takes to win is brought to you by Motlick and Associates. When winning is everything, call Motlick Injury Attorneys at #WIN. That's #WIN, #946. Counting down to the pregame show at the top of the hour, I'm one of the co-hosts on the network pregame show, of course, Chris Goforth, who is a part of the Team Wade Ford show today. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Great, John. Always fun to be with you.
Well, as you roll in here, I want to update you. The Buccaneers have scored 2 touchdowns in 90 seconds down in the Swamp, and 6 minutes into the game have a 14-0 lead on the Swampers.
Wow, that's tough. I mean, I know, New Orleans has got they got some issues down there that they're having to deal with, and yeah, I don't know. Maybe we don't give Baker Mayfield enough credit for what he does, and just kind of as good as that guy is. I mean, he certainly found a new life, if you will, down in Tampa. Kind of the same thing that's going on in Minnesota now with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, he does have kind of a new life here, and we'll see how this kind of plays out here as we keep our eyes on that 1 o'clock game. 4:25 kick between the Panthers and the Falcons today. Chris, as you look at the Falcons, 5 games, 5 fourth-quarter games, down to the wire. The good news is they've won the 3. If you had to win 3 of them, you would have picked Philadelphia, New Orleans, and Tampa because of the tiebreakers, and that's exactly what they've done. And they've also won games at the end of the game, so there's a lot of kind of resilience, as Darnell Mooney was talking about, in this team, and it kind of feeds to their confidence level being able to win games like this when it gets down to crunch time at the end of the year, maybe even into the playoffs. Having said that, boy, it would be nice if you didn't have one that was going to drive us all into the loony bin today against this Panthers team.
Well, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I think Drake London had the quote this week where he said, I want to have a game at some point in time where I can just chill in the fourth quarter. And I felt that when I read that quote from Drake London. I'm like, man, I'd like to have a game where I could kind of chill a little bit in the fourth quarter too, instead of being on the edge of our seats. Maybe it comes today, but, when it comes to the Falcons and the NFC South, it seems like every game always comes down to the wire. They're going into a place today where of late they have not had a ton of success. I think the last 2 times the Falcons have been there, the weather's not been great. I remember 2 years ago it was a Thursday night, just a miserable rainy night in Carolina. As a matter of fact, that was the, if you'll remember, John, that was the day that Jake Matthews' wife had their baby, and Jake Matthews stayed in Atlanta for the birth of his child, and then Arthur Blank was able to get him a plane, and he was able to get a private charter to Charlotte, pretty much ran in the locker room with his flip-flops and t-shirt on, and was able to get taped up and dressed and started the game for the Falcons. But that was just a miserable, miserable night in Charlotte in the rain. Falcons couldn't stop the run that night. I think it was Deontay Foreman of the Panthers that had a big game against Atlanta that night. So hopefully They can slow down Chuba Hubbard today. The weather's going to be good. It should set itself up for this offense to be able to have a pretty good day for the Falcons.
You know, we've been talking, Chris, a little bit on the show here about run the ball, stop the run, win the game. Three things, two of the three, the Falcons haven't done. They haven't really run the ball well, haven't stopped the ball at all, stopped the run, but they've managed to win the game nonetheless, thanks in part to the fact that Kirk Cousins is throwing for over 500 yards. But what is it going to take for the Falcons to get this run game going? At times, it looks like, you know, people saying like Leonard Tyler Algier seems to be able to get yards after contact more than Bijan, but at the same time, this running game for the Falcons has been somewhat ineffective. And I think I'm being kind in saying somewhat ineffective.
No, I think you're right. That's something Mike and I have talked about on the countdown to kickoff for the last couple of weeks. I think we all thought, and maybe some of that is based off of what we have seen from the Falcons the last couple of years under Arthur Smith and how good this team was able to run the football. I think we thought that this would be, kind of a continuation with those guys. The one thing that I think I would like to see, and again, I watched the game, probably a lot different than, somebody like Mike Johnson who played it, but I'd like to see a little bit more of creativity in the run game. The Falcons, to me, it doesn't look like there's a lot of variation. There's not a lot of creativity when it comes to the run game. So, when you talk about where to place it, I guess you can always throw a little bit of blame towards the offensive line. Maybe some of that does fall back on the backs for not being able to get that extra yardage after contact. But I also think some of that has to roll back on, play calling and also play design as well.
This portion of the Wait For Tailgate Show brought to you by Orchard. You can sell your home and get paid twice. Learn how at orchard.com. John Fricke talking with Chris Goforth. Of course, Chris and I do college football game time on Saturdays. By the way, Chris, how about, is it settling into fans finally in college football when you look at the Alabama-South Carolina game, or you look at the Tennessee game yesterday, or Oregon-Ohio State, or, take your pick? Is it settling in that, even Georgia, having to work to beat Mississippi State, is it settling in that this is really close and at the top here? I mean, Penn State's got to go to overtime to win a game. You've got – it's super tight, and I don't know, this playoff race is going to be wild to watch.
Say it with me, John. Vanderbilt has won two straight in conference. Nobody,
right, they beat Kentucky.
You did not have that on your bingo card at the start of the year. I will guarantee it. So, I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, the old saying used to be, we talked about the NFL, any given Sunday. We got to talk about any given Saturday now in the college game, because that's certainly the way it feels like. It doesn't really matter what the matchup is, ranked versus ranked, who's at home, who's on the road. Every single team feels like they've got a chance, every week going into it. And I think what we saw yesterday kind of backs that up.
Well, and again, this sets up, again, what I wanted to talk about with you today. Any given Sunday, the Falcons have played five straight knucklebusters down to the wire or into overtime in five straight weeks here. There is no letting up. If they take their foot off the gas at all, and it doesn't matter that to me that Carolina is beset with injuries, and boy, are they banged up. I mean, no Adam Thielen for the year, no Derek Brown, no Shaq Thompson. They've had a change out at quarterback. Their offensive line is all banged up. I mean, they're banged up. They weren't a great football team to begin with, and then they lose all their stars. But at the same time, if you go in there and go, oh, we got this one, in that kind of a mindset, you're going to be in trouble, especially, as you mentioned, over the last couple of years, that Jake Matthews game, which we refer to as the hand grenade game from, the noodle arm quitter when he threw the pop-up hand grenade, both in the rain, and then, of course, DoorDash Dez with a horrific pass last year that cost him any chance of being in the playoffs. You can't go to Charlotte and take this lightly, because if you do, you're going to get beat, and all the good work you've done over the last couple of weeks is going to be gone.
No, you can't, and I would hope that the veterans on this team, the guys that have been through three consecutive 7-10 seasons, that have lived through so many close losses over these last 3 years that guys like Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata, guys that have been through, you know, quote unquote, the war, so to speak, in the NFC South, would be the ones that could step up and go, you know, hey guys, look, you know, we got to keep our focus. We got to keep the hammer down. We cannot let up now, because you're starting to feel like, you know, maybe this team, especially offensively, with what we've seen the last couple of weeks, maybe this thing's starting to round into form a little bit now, 5 weeks into the season offensively. That gives me a lot of optimism. But man, you go to Charlotte today and lay the egg, John. Suddenly you're back to thinking, well, you know, here we go again. So they got to avoid that happening today. Go up there, get that win, and get back home.
All right, we look forward to the countdown to kickoff as we get Chris Goforth into the studio with Mike Johnson, and we'll join the network at the top of the hour ahead of the Falcons and the Panthers. Appreciate you taking a few minutes, Chris. I'll talk to you again Saturday, because another big Saturday, because you got Georgia Texas coming up next. Ooh, yeah. Georgia Texas next week. Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. Thanks, Chris.
All right, man. See you soon.
That is Chris Goforth, co-host on College Football Game Time, of course, co-host of the countdown to kickoff at the top of the hour with he and Mike Johnson. The stats again on Kirk Cousins, I think, bear mentioning. You know, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, but to have him do what he did, and I just want to read, I want to take a moment and read these again. I mentioned him at the top of the show just so that we could kind of put in perspective. Not only does he throw a drive that ends up with a game-tying field goal, and then throw a, you know, it was catch and run, and all credit due to Cordero Hodge, game-winning touchdown pass. But in that game against Tampa last week, Captain Kirk, 42 completions, which is a franchise record, 509 yards, a franchise record, his first ever 500-yard game, by the way. And then these two stats that when I first saw them, I went, wow, and you should too. Cousins threw for 253 yards in the first half and 256 yards in the second half plus overtime. It makes him the only NFL quarterback in the Super Bowl era that goes back to Super Bowl I between the Packers and the Oakland Raiders in Los Angeles in 1966, the only NFL quarterback in the Super Bowl era to throw for 250 or more yards in the first and the second half of a game. No one else has done it. Just Kirk Cousins. Also this, Cousins now the first quarterback in NFL history, in the history of the NFL, to pass for at least 450 yards or more in a game with three separate teams. He did it with the Washington Redskins, did it with the Minnesota Vikings, and has now done it with the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm just amazed. I don't know why we didn't have a whole bunch of Kirk Cousins haters out there hitting our timelines this week. They weren't there. I don't know why. So, are you good? This is why you paid the man $100 million, okay? You're 3-2, and Kirk Cousins is the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. All right, we'll see how that kind of works out moving forward here. And if this team is going to go places, you got to have a good quarterback. But there are other issues on the team that we probably have to focus on, and we'll touch a little bit on those with Mike Johnson. I'm sure that Mike and Chris are going to get into it in the countdown to kickoff coming up here. Stop the run, run the ball, stop the run. The Falcons are doing neither really well. And what do they have to do to adjust to trying to stop? Because you can bet that Chuba Hubbard is going to get the ball 27, 28 times today. They're going to try and run it down the Falcons' throat. I don't blame them. I would too. If the Falcons can't stop the run, then that's where I'd go, because you want to try and shorten the game. I mean, they're going to try and run the ball today a lot on the Atlanta Falcons. How's that going to kind of all play out? This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. As we join Mike Johnson coming up next, headed towards a 4:25 kickoff in Charlotte today between the Falcons and the Panthers on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game.
Go! Break it!
More Falcons coverage now. This is the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
The Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is presented by Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and is brought to you in part by Hatfield Pork Products, the W Sauce, and Shake Shack.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Falcons and Panthers today, 4:25 kick in Charlotte. Wade Ford, Atlanta's Ford dealer, brought to you in part as well by the W Sauce, the official sauce of the tailgate. Bigger, better, bolder. Visit WSauce.com today to find a retailer near you. Mike Johnson, which, of course, Morning Shift and the co-host alongside Chris Goforth of the Countdown to Kickoff coming up in about 20 minutes, top of the hour when we join the network, has been kind enough to give us a few minutes. And, Mike, I appreciate that as we go to the game today. Thanks for jumping into the show.
Yeah, it's a little bit different vibe coming in here for the 4 o'clock game. Fricky, as you know. Usually I'm rolling in here and just, you know, pounding out the caffeine at all times when I'm heading on the morning shift. But a little bit of the afternoon delight as far as the caffeine goes today, man. So I hope you're having a good day, brother. It's good to be with you.
So I got to ask you, Mike. I mean, I don't know what's with these pulling your hair out, pulling teeth, end of the game. Oh, my God, are we going to lose? Are we going to win? I don't know what's going on with Alabama.
Right. I thought you were talking about the Atlanta Falcons for a minute because it's the same thing. I don't know when I'm ever just going to, you know, be able to enjoy one of these games. It's been every game with the Falcons, and it's definitely been the last 3 weeks with Alabama as well, man. So I don't know what's with it either. Alabama right now, not to get too deep in the weeds, but they're not doing the small things right. And you know as well as I do, when you don't do the little things correctly, it's what gets you beat. Jalen Milroe with the bad interception before half and with 6 seconds left, they lined up to kick a field goal. There was like a 12-point flip with 2 minutes left in the first half. All just bad decisions for Alabama, man. So I know that we'll get to the Falcons. Here's what I think Alabama fans have to realize. This is what 99% of college football fans deal with. Alabama fans just aren't used to it, right? It's what 99% of fans deal with, the ups and downs, the bad decisions, the good decisions, the electric plays. Bama's just not used to it, man. This post-Saban world is going to be a little bit of a change for everybody.
Well, I'll tell you, the screaming and gnashing of teeth that you are hearing about, probably smelling right now, coming up 85, wafting out of Stinky Town. Buccaneers 17, Spencer Rattler's nothing. First quarter in New Orleans. Oof.
We knew it was going to be rough. I can't think the over-under for this game was like 43. And look, man, this is a guy that was listed as third string a week ago, right? And obviously it's been interesting to see. The reason they played Spencer Rattler is because they knew this offensive line was banged up and they knew they might need somebody to kind of move around the backfield. Kind of watching it as we speak, looks like he's kind of trying to lead a drive. Looks like they're almost in field goal range. But, you know, when you go down by 17 in the first quarter, it's always going to be tough to climb back from. I told Bo on Friday on the morning shift, John, that I was rooting for New Orleans in this game because I think Tampa's just more of a long-term threat. I think Tampa's a more well-rounded team. So when you look at this division, I want Tampa to get a loss, as many losses as they can, as it kind of comes down to the wire. So, unfortunately, there's some struggles going on with that. But Spencer Rattler needs to dig in. This offense needs to dig in. And we'll see what they've got. I actually like both these offense coordinators that are facing off in this game. So that's going to be a fun one to kind of follow as we lead in the build-up to the Falcons-Panthers later on.
All right, so somewhere in like 1884, Rutgers is playing Princeton, and somebody writes on a chalkboard. I think they probably had chalkboards back then. Run the ball, stop the run, win the game. And it's been true ever since we've been playing football for however hundred many years we've been doing it. All right, so you, Mike Johnson, given what you did, you know, professionally at Alabama and, of course, in the NFL, is it a case with those two quality running backs, are they just not schemed up right? Are they not seeing the scheme up right? Is it the other teams are loading the box and saying, we're going to make Kirk Cousins beat us in the air? Good luck with that. And or is it not the threat of a running quarterback? Why has the run game of the Atlanta Falcons been so mid?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I don't think it's one answer. I think if it was just one answer, John, we'd probably just say, hey, you know, there's one thing wrong. We need to fix that. But it's kind of all the above, right? I think the one thing and I had this conversation with Dave Archer during training camp, Bo Morgan, obviously, a number of different people that you're out here watching at training camp. The curiosity I had about what the run scheme would be. You know, Arthur Smith, obviously, very heavy in wide zone, outside zone, even some mid zone. I know those look a lot like the same running plays, to average fans watching them. For offensive line, they're a little bit different. But they're all, you know, relatively, you're trying to get the same things accomplished, right? Trying to get the defensive line and the front seven to move side to side. And you're hoping that they can't kind of move in chorus, as we like to say. And that maybe you can find a gap. With Zach Robinson having been in coaching for such a short amount of time, right? He's only been in coaching really for 5-6 years. And so you wonder how much he knows about the run game. Well, then I think that's one of the reasons you probably keep Dwayne Ledford around, right? Because Dwayne Ledford knows these offensive linemen, knows the run game, knows what needs to be done. It just seems like, for whatever reason, the lack of variation to me is kind of startling. It really is. There's no counters. There's no pullers. There's no misdirection. There's nothing when it comes to this run game that makes these linebackers kind of take a half of a second hesitation, to be able to pull the trigger. And I think so many times, not only that, but I mean, just the lack of bootlegs, right? The defensive ends are crashing down on some of the wide zone. So I think that you'll start to see that as the year goes on. You'll start to see some of the reactionary, style play calls. Well, they're crashing it. Let's see if we can, bootleg out of it, or let's see if we can run a counter play, or maybe even pull a backside guard or something like that, run a gap scheme. But for right now, this team is moving forward with two run plays. They run a little bit of a duo downhill scheme, and they're in run wide zone. And so I just wonder who's in charge of that. I wonder if this is a Dwayne Ledford thing where he is kind of in charge of the run game because he's been around these guys and he knows run schemes. Or is Zach Robinson, is he saying, hey, I want to stick with wide zone because that's kind of, what I like to see, and I like the consistency of it. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know that if this team is going to make a run in the final, 12-plus games, that something has to change with that. You have got to have, these guys on defense kind of second-guessing what they're seeing and causing them just a little bit of hesitation to kind of open up those seams. And, we'll see. Obviously, you've played some good fronts. Carolina is not one of them. As far as the injuries and everything else goes. And so hopefully you can get a correction type of day today on the ground.
All right. So in the 90 seconds we have left here, Mike, flip that around. If I'm Carolina, banged up as I am, and knowing that the Falcons have had trouble stopping the run on the other side of the ball, I think Hubbard's going to get the ball 27, 28 times today. I mean, I'm going to run it at him. I'm going to try and shorten the game. I'm going to Arthur Smith this thing.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You mentioned Alabama, and I know that I'm going to talk to my friend Chris Goforth here in just a minute about Alabama versus Vanderbilt, because I have not seen him since that game happened. Vanderbilt had the ball for 42 minutes, John, in that game.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, how does that happen? Alabama held the ball for 17 minutes and still scored 35 points on offense, right? And that's really what I think. That's the style I think you will see today out of Carolina. You're going to see them try to take over on the ground. Right, you're going to try to see them possess the football. And point blank, if I was watching the film on Atlanta's front, I would be trying to do the same thing. They have trouble stopping on early down, stopping the opposing team's run. And that's up to David Onyemata, Grady Jarrett. We saw Ruka Roro, be kind of put in Kentavious Street's place and try to make a little bit of effort. I think that changed a little bit. What does the future hold for Nate Lammon? We'll find out soon. But this is a team that's got to get off the field on the obvious rundowns. And they have to do it in a big way this weekend. I have a lot of questions. I think this is kind of a prove it week. One of those things you want to prove is, can we stop the run? And when we know they're going to run it, Chuba Hubbard and company are going to be hoping that answer is no.
Mike Johnson coming up top of the hour as we join the network with Chris Goforth on the countdown to kickoff. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, man.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show. We're counting down to the Falcons and Panthers, a 4:25 kick in Carolina today. Underway, of course, with the 1 o'clock games. We'll update you on some of those that are in progress already as we look forward to a third straight NFC South showdown for the Atlanta Falcons here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92 on the game. Between the Falcons and the Panthers, Joe Patrick back next week. He is in Charlotte this week covering the game. He joined us earlier in the show, as did Bo Morgan, Squid Billy, and Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson. I thank all of those guys and Noel White, our executive producer, on this kind of team Wade Ford version of the show. John Fricke with you, and we'll take you just a couple of minutes from now to the network pregame show with Chris and Mike, and of course Wes and Dave on the call from Charlotte today. As for the way this game is going to go today, I think that when we talk about Carolina wanting to run the football, and running it maybe somewhere in the order of 35, who knows, maybe 40 times. I mean, they're going to want to shorten the game. They're going to want to try and run it against a Falcons defense that has not been very good against the run. And we'll see with the return of Nate Lammon if they did they run blitz today. Did they do something a little bit different defensively to try and, make Andy Dalton beat them through the air? Because as banged up as the Panthers are, if they don't have their top two or three wide receivers, of course, Adam Thielen's out for the year, that might be a consideration. See how the Falcons kind of play this thing, too, and how do they build off that incredible performance that Kirk Cousins had in the win over Tampa. The NFL underway today. Earlier today in London, of course, Thursday night, San Francisco ran for all over Seattle with 228 yards of rushing in a 36-24 win. Earlier this morning in London, the London game, the Bears blew out the Jaguars 35-16. Chicago goes to 4-2 on the year. And in that game, Caleb Williams, 22 of 27 for four touchdowns. touchdowns in that game. 1 o'clock games that are already, just to bring you up to speed, already in progress here. The Packers have a 14-0 lead on the Cardinals mid-second quarter, and they're driving again in Lambeau. The Titans have a 10-7 lead early second quarter in Nashville over the Indianapolis Colts. The Texans on top of the Patriots, 14-0, and the Patriots, of course, they're playing Drake May today, and he has been under assault in this game. Texans lead that 14-0 second quarter in Foxborough. The Saints have gotten back on the board again. Another touchdown after being down 17-0. It's now 17-10 Buccaneers over the Saints in New Orleans early second quarter. And that game, that's going to be one of those high-scoring games. I don't think that thing's going to stop. Eagles have just gotten into the end zone to extend to a 10-0 lead over the woeful Browns second quarter in Philadelphia. And the Ravens on top of the Commanders, 10-3 second quarter in Baltimore. Just kind of looking around the league to see what we have going on so far today. Still to come, 4 o'clock games include the Chargers and Broncos, Steelers and Raiders, Lions and Cowboys. Tonight, the Bengals and the Giants in a yawner of an 8:20 game. And then tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, the Bills and the Jets. And of course, the big story there will be new head coach for the New York Jets. And will there be another firing this week? Like, I don't know, we're looking at you, Cleveland, in terms of making the coach the scapegoat for what's going on here. All right, my thanks to everybody involved. Stand by, Falcons and Panthers. See if the Falcons can kind of get rid of the last bad taste of the last couple of years in those trips to Charlotte out of their mouths. They are touchdown favorites today to win this game. Let's see if they can make it three in a row in the division. Stand by for the network coverage and the pregame show. Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson, Wes and Dave on the call on a Falcons Sunday right here on your home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.